Good evening, everybody, and welcome again to another lesson in our mini-series on the prophecy of Daniel. God bless you all, and may these lessons inspire each and every one of you to consider these things. What I would like to say as an introduction is that the problem with fully and clearly understanding the prophecies and the images and the elements of Daniel is the fact that we, as right dividers, know that at some point in these historic events and events of prophecy, there was a hiatus. At Acts 28, the nation of Israel was put aside, and all these prophetic Gentile dominion kingdoms were postponed with Israel. So what we don't know is accurately where this postponement fell. Did it fall at the bottom of the legs of iron of Nebuchadnezzar's image that he dreamt? Or did the Acts 28 postponement fall at the bottom of the belly and thighs of bronze? Certainly, we need to recognize that while it's very interesting to know and important to know about Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon, while it is important to know about the Medes and the Persians, while it is important to know about Greece and Rome, what we need to know is exactly where these events take place, and we need to know from this prophecy what to look for within that geographic region. The things that eventually result in this little horn of Daniel chapter 7 that speaks great things, this little horn of beast number 4, which greatly disturbed Daniel. So please remember that it is important to know that at some point there was a postponement. Now, we're going to go back and review Daniel chapter 7. And remember, all of these images relate to the rock that strikes Gentile dominion. Each of these gives more detailed information. In Daniel chapter 2, as it were, we have an overview. Remember, it was the king of Babylon that set up an image in Daniel chapter 3 with 60 times 6 as its dimensions and 6 musical instruments. Remember that. It started in Babylon. And I wonder if we might see tonight that the Antichrist actually comes from Babylon. It starts and ends in the same place. It started with a head of gold and an image with 60 times 6 in Babylon, and it comes to its conclusion from the same place. But I'm jumping ahead of myself. Now in Daniel chapter 7, we have 4 beasts. The last, well, let's have a look at them. Here's the first beast again. He is like a lion, and he's got eagle's wings, etc., etc., and he is a recorded beast. We don't know who he is. We're not going to say who he is. It's just that he is a beast like a lion. Beast number 2 in Daniel chapter 7 is a bear, raised up on one side with 3 ribs in its mouth, and eat much flesh. Third beast, we noticed last lesson, remember, in our third beast, we have the likeness of a leopard, and it has 4 heads. Notice, 4 heads. We have 4 beasts in Daniel chapter 7, and we count 7 heads in the 4 beasts. Very important when we come to the book of Revelation. Now, after this, Daniel looked, and he saw in the night visions a 4th beast. And this guy really disturbed Daniel because he was pretty disturbing. He was frightening. Okay? He devoured and broke in pieces and stamped the rest with his feet. And it was different from all the beasts before it, and it had 10 horns. Now, what these 4 beasts are is a progression to the same second coming of Christ. In Daniel chapter 2, you had the image and the 10 toes and the rock striking. In Daniel chapter 7, we've got four beasts and 10 horns and Christ coming in the clouds. It's more detailed information. Okay. I was thinking about the horns, these 10 horns on this fourth beast, and lo and behold, a little horn comes up before whom the first three of the first horns were uprooted, and it spoke great things. So here is the Antichrist, the little horn. So he's out of the last beast, he uproots three of 10 kings, and he becomes one of the horns. Now, at this point, remember, here comes the Son of Man in the clouds. All of these things relate to Gentile dominion up until the second coming. Daniel chapter 2, the feet of toes, the rock comes, the second coming. Daniel chapter 7, four beasts, 10 horns, a little horn comes up, the second coming. Do you see? Do you see how these all terminate with the same historic event? If I can make that point tonight, I've done a good job already. Now, we notice in verse 19 that Daniel was pretty disturbed about this fourth beast, and it was a pretty horrible beast, let me tell you. And we're going to find out why it's a horrible beast when we flick over to the book of Revelation. You see, what happened? This fourth beast consumed the other three. You see, he stamped them. He consumed them. He broke them. And it's all about the prophetic earth. Now, and of course, Daniel was considering the 10 horns and the little one that came up. Okay? It's Daniel who wanted to know the truth about them. And at the bottom of the chapter, notice that Daniel, his thoughts troubled him. His face was changed. You know, his external, his body language, his body language was all bad, let me tell you, because he was really distressed by this fourth beast. Okay, now, last week, and this is some revision for you, last week, we went down to Revelation chapter 13, didn't we? And in Revelation 13, you've got your notebooks, but I want to suggest to you very strongly that this beast in Revelation 13 is the same fourth beast of Daniel chapter 7. Because look, this beast has got seven heads. Okay, it's the fourth beast of Daniel 7 that's trampled the others. So it's got the seven heads of the previous three plus its own and 10 horns. And on its horns were 10 crowns. Okay, now this guy, look at it. It has the same three animal features of Daniel chapter 7. And this fourth beast is empowered by Satan. No wonder Daniel was distressed about it. Okay? Now, a mouth was speaking great things. Okay, here comes the little horn of Daniel chapter 7. A mouth speaking great things is given to it, and authority was given to it for 3.5 years. And it opened its mouth in blasphemy and so forth and so on. And just as Daniel says, it makes war with the saints. And it overcomes every, here we go, it overcomes every tribe and tongue and nation. And that does not mean America. Do you understand how we must interpret Revelation in the same geographical location as Daniel? We can't go outside that barrier. Or then, because we're outside the defines and the framework of the prophecy. All right. Now, please remember this beast. He's number 4 of Daniel 7. This is the beast that really disturbed Daniel. Remember, Daniel was told to seal up these things. He was told that these were to be sealed until the end times. The book of Revelation was written when these things were shortly to come to pass. The book of the Acts, as I have said so many times, is the ends of the ages, not the beginning of anything. In Matthew 24, 1-3, the disciples asked about the ends of the age. And that included the abomination of desolation of Daniel in the Lord's response. That's the abomination of Daniel, the abomination in Matthew, the abomination in Revelation, and the abomination in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Remember, this series is about the dispensational setting of Thessalonians. And what I'm trying to show through this extensive series is that Thessalonians is prophecy, not the mystery of Ephesians 3. And that 1 Thessalonians 4 is all about the culmination of the prophecies of Daniel. And Romans 11 likewise. Partial blindness is upon Israel until the fullness or culmination of Gentile dominion, which is in the mouth of this little horn, out of this beast who is blaspheming everything, including God, and sets himself in the temple as God. See how these things link together? And see how wonderful right division helps us to understand when the Lord says in Matthew 24, he will send his angels to gather the elect from the four winds, that the four winds have to be understood from prophecy, and we're about to go and see the four winds in Daniel chapter 8. God bless you for listening so far, and we're going back to this prophecy. And remember, Daniel chapter 8 follows Daniel chapter 7, in which chapter Daniel tells us very clearly of his distress. Daniel 7:20. My thoughts troubled me much. My face changed. He became ill, but I kept the matter in my heart. Chapter 8. In the third year, okay, timing at the moment we have to pass, a vision appeared to Daniel. After that which appeared to me at the first. So now he's getting a complementary vision. He's getting a further information. Now, Daniel is looking not at Babylon. This image does not include Babylon. It includes a ram. Having two horns, the higher one came up last. And every expositor will say that this ram represents the Medes and the Persians. Okay? The Medes and the Persians. Now this ram was pushing this way and that way in verse 4. This ram is pushing all over the place and becoming powerful. So now we're getting specifics. This chapter 8 is talking about two Gentile kings that are featured in chapter 2. Do you see? This is about two kingdoms that is featured in chapter 2. All right, verse 5 of Daniel 8. As Daniel was watching in his vision, lo and behold, a he-goat came from the west, over the face of what? All the earth. No, Alexander the Great, and that's who this is about, did not conquer England, did not conquer Italy, did not conquer Russia, did not conquer Australia. So all the earth, again, is limiting us prophetically to the earth that runs from Iran to Greece down to Egypt. And possibly parts of Libya. He did not touch the ground, says Daniel 8 verse 5, and he had one outstanding horn between his eyes. And of course, he smashes the ram. Medes and Persians had ram heads on their coins and ram icons on their buildings. And so we have the second and third kingdoms of Nebuchadnezzar's image. And the He-Groat became very strong, Daniel 8, verse 8. Alexander the Great became very strong. He defeated the Medes and Persians with 47,000, and they had 250. But about 11 years later, give or take a couple of years, I'm not certain, Alexander the Great died, and his kingdom was divided up to his four generals. And his generals are Cassandra, Lysimachus, I don't know whether I pronounced that right, Lysimachus, Seleucus, and Ptolemy. And I would like you now to look at the map, which is compliments of Mike Penny and his book entitled The Dream. An excellent little booklet. Yes, I have to use a whole heap of resources, friends. Trust me, I don't have the intelligence to sort this all out myself. I need helpers, let me tell you. You have to go to that chart, please, and download number 7, and I want you to look at the map at this juncture. Now, if you have that map in front of you, we're going to go back to Daniel chapter 8. But first of all, Macedonia and Thrace, can you see top left, Macedonia and Thrace? That means Greece, Philippi, Thessalonica, all those towns that Paul visited. Do you know that Paul, in his Acts period ministry, proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom in the prophetic earth? Did you know that? Isn't it fascinating that in Matthew 24, the Lord said the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world? Christian community today, so confused by it all, they don't even know what the gospel of the kingdom is, half of them. They think it's John 3:16. You know, the gospel of the kingdom was proclaimed in all of the prophetic earth during the Acts period. Isn't that stunning? Paul went all the way to Rome. Peter left Jerusalem, but certainly the gospel of the kingdom was preached in all of Cappadocia. And if Peter wrote from Babylon, he was over on the east. And Apollo was from Alexandria. How did Apollo hear the gospel of the kingdom? He heard it from someone that went down there. Do you see? Isn't the Bible rightly divided absolutely an exciting and thrilling book? Instead of standing up with a church on the street corner and saying, oh, we've got to preach John 3:16 into Africa, when we understand Matthew 24 in the light of Daniel, we know that the gospel of the kingdom in that Acts period setting was being proclaimed in the prophetic earth. Can you see that? Isn't it amazing? Paul was accomplishing the very thing that Christ said in Matthew 24 would take place before his second coming. And so what? There is, again, additional evidence that the Acts period was the end of the ages and the second coming of the Lord was, in fact, in view at that time. But at Acts 28, as we know, it was postponed. But all the elements of the stage were together. But you see, why some people say, oh, Nero was, you know, that king. Well, he wasn't. Why? Because God postponed it. Just as John the Baptist could have been Elijah, but he wasn't. Why? Because it was postponed. And we can't guesstimate as to who these people will be in the future, but tonight we will know the area from whence the Antichrist comes. Now, there are the four regions, and again, you have to go to this link and download chart number 7. Compliments of Mike Penny and his book, The Dream. Thank you, Michael. Now let's go back to Daniel chapter 8 and see what is stated there. Again, I repeat this verse, Daniel 8, verse 8. The he-goat became very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken, Alexander died, and in its place came up four outstanding ones towards the four winds of the heavens. And out, look at this verse, and out of one of them came forth the little horn, which became very great toward the south and toward the east and toward the bountiful land. We and most expositors believe that to be Israel. And it became great, this little horn, and it was, again, you see, it came great towards the host of heaven and made some of the host of heaven fall, and it trampled them to the ground. And of course, in verse 11, he magnified himself. Do you see? He magnified himself even to the ruler of the host, and the daily sacrifice was taken away. Here is the guy of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Here is the guy of Revelation 13. Here is the guy featured so much in Daniel. And where does he come from? Have a look at your map, friends. He comes from either Greece or Macedonia. He comes from modern-day Turkey. He comes from Iraq, Babylon, and the Upper Syria region. Or he comes from Egypt and Palestine. That's the only place that the Bible says the Antichrist can come from. Anyone says anywhere else, you don't waste your money on the book, friends. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to make a process of elimination. First of all, if you look at your map, anyone with a limited brain, and that's me, would have to eliminate Egypt and Ptolemy. Ptolemy was one of Alexander's generals, and he took rule of Israel and Egypt. Now, that guy certainly can't go south, can he? And he can't go east. Right. So, we're going to have to eliminate that one. Now, Macedonia and Thrace, he can't go east and south either. So, we're going to eliminate Greece and Macedonia. Now, you will see that Cappadocia features in this map. Now, here is something absolutely interesting. Very, very interesting. I'm going to post Daniel 8, verse 12, which I should have done. Again, you'll notice this Antichrist is against the daily sacrifice, etc., etc., and it cast truth to the ground. And of course, in 2 Thessalonians, God gave them, Israel, over to believe a lie, or the lie, as it says. So, here we have this little horn, and he's coming out of the four divisions of Alexander's kingdom. But we remember, don't we, in Daniel chapter 7, that he's part of the fourth beast that's terrible and frightening. And we've already seen the fourth beast, haven't we? In the book of Revelation. Now, when I go to the book of Revelation, I find two parts of Alexander's kingdom featured in Revelation. I hope you're all taking notes, but I am recording. And now I'm going to go to Revelation chapter 1. This is really interesting. I hope this inspires you. Did you ever wonder why the book of Revelation starts with the Lord writing to the seven churches of Asia? First of all, I want everyone in this room to know where Asia is. Do you know where Asia is? Okay. Would you look at your map, which I put on the website, miscellaneous? Did you know that Asia is the second part of the fourfold division of Alexander's kingdom? that the Asia of Revelation is Cappadocia. It's modern Turkey. Isn't that interesting? I wonder now if there's a link for us. Well, certainly, a lot of people have problems. They say, oh, what about those seven churches? There's Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Why did the Revelation start writing to those seven towns in Turkey? Because, friends, whether those towns exist now, those towns might exist in the future, and there'll be groups of Jewish believers there, and they are going to be in the thick of the beasts of Daniel chapter 7. Because the beasts of Daniel chapter 7 emerge from the prophetic earth. And if you want now, with Daniel in your mind, to go and read those opening chapters of Revelation, you'll find that these guys are going to have to endure some terrible stuff. Why? Because the fourth beast, horrible, that frightened Daniel and made him sick, is going to feature in this region. Now, I'm not saying he's coming from here, but he's defeating all the others, and he's brutal. Isn't this interesting? I hope you find this interesting. I do. I don't have all the answers, but I find this very, very interesting. Now, look. Here's Revelation opening with letters to the seven churches. Put the smiley and a good boy on the post there, Bruce. Thank you, Julie. Here comes the verse again in Revelation chapter 1. Revelation, there it is. The seven churches which are in one of the fourfold divisions of Alexander's kingdom. Now, guess what? Immediately follows in verse 7. Look. Behold, he comes with the clouds. Can you see? Did you notice in Daniel chapter 7, as soon as the little horn is mentioned, here comes Christ the second coming? Didn't you notice in Daniel chapter 8, you've got the little horn, and I forgot to post it, but Christ is coming. That's what Daniel's about. All those things that feature prior to his coming. And here are seven letters who are going to the to endure a great deal of tribulation, and immediately afterwards we have the second coming of Christ. Jesus Jackson, stop wasting people's time. Go and entertain yourself by opening your own room. You'll have a lot of followers. Yourself and yourself. Now, that's very, very interesting. Now I want to go back to Revelation 13 to refresh our memory. Here comes the guy, the fourth beast. I want you to notice him in Revelation 13, verse 1. Here he is. The fourth beast has seven heads. Out of Daniel 7, there were seven heads on those beasts there, and 10 horns, 10 crowns, 10 kings, and its head was the name of blasphemy. Out of these horns comes the little horn that uproots three. Same guy. Now, does he come from Cappadocia? Well, I'm not quite sure about that, because what we're going to do is go to Revelation chapter 17 to see the same guy. Now, one of the seven angels comes to John and says, let me tell you, Revelation 17:1, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot sitting on many waters. The waters represent nations and tongues. Now notice in 17:2, the kings of the earth. I'll tell you one thing, friends, by the end of this series, you're not going to include America and Australia and England when you read Revelation 17, are you? Anymore. You're going to say, the kings that are involved in the prophetic earth of Daniel. Those are the kings that have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. this harlot, whoever she is, right, and it's a woman. Did you know Jerusalem is also called a woman? Galatians chapter 4, so we have a couple of women here. One's Jerusalem, and one is, I won't race ahead of Revelation 17, but notice she's indoctrinated and she's fornicated with all these kings, whoever this harlot is. And he carried me away into the desert by the Spirit. So it's a desert place, isn't it? And I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet-coloured beast, filled with the names of blasphemy, having what? The same characteristics of the beast in Revelation 13 and Daniel chapter 7. This beast that is supporting this prostitute has got 7 heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and she was gilded with gold and precious stones, Revelation 17:4, and pearls, and having a golden cup in her hand, the gates of Jerusalem of pearls, you know, and full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great. Remember, there is a thing called the mystery of iniquity, right? And the abominations of the earth. And she was drunk with the blood of the saints. This city has been consuming the saints that are the Israelites. The same saints in Daniel, not the church which is his body. You see the confusion? When anyone wants to interpret Daniel as relating to the church which is his body, that's bashing your head against a brick wall. If we don't know Revelation is the end of the times and the unsealing of Daniel, and we want to make it the dispensation of the grace of God, we are promoting confusion. Now, the angel said, why do you marvel? Isn't it fascinating that Daniel marveled at the fourth beast and he was made sick? And here's John doing the same thing. Revelation 17:7, I'll tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, that has the 7 heads and 10 horns. Now, I can't understand Revelation 17:8, but I'm going to post it in there right now. But I want you to know that the beast you saw, I'm going to post it again, the beast you saw and is not and is about to ascend out of the abyss. This fourth beast is empowered by Satan, and that is what makes this fourth beast so incredibly terrifying. And you'll notice that a book was opened in Daniel, a book's featured in Daniel, a book's featured in Revelation, but I simply have to pass on the statement about this beast simply to observe that it's out of the abyss. Its power is of Satan. Hi, Mark, good to see you. And here is the mind. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sits. And, of course, many expositors say, oh, this is the Rome. But we've already seen, haven't we, that Rome isn't a part of Alexander's kingdom. Did you notice on your map, Alexander the Great never conquered Italy. Italy is not in the frame for this last beast. Not in the frame. Now, there are 7 kings. Out of this 7, there are 7 kings. That's what these 7 mountains represent. 5 have fallen and 1 is, and the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short while. Now, the beast which you saw and is not, here's the 8th and is of the 7 and goes into perdition. Excuse me passing on all this for the moment. I want to keep it simple. But what I'm pointing out here is that this last beast out of the abyss on which Babylon sits, and I'm saying Babylon here is a literal city Because remember, Gentile dominion began with Nebuchadnezzar. It was Nebuchadnezzar that set up an image in Daniel chapter 3. Remember? It was a king of Babylon. Remember our lesson before that. It was the king of Babylon that came through Israel, fought the king of the south, i.e. Egypt, and desecrated the temple and destroyed Jerusalem. History, prophecy in Revelation is coming full circle. It's Babylon, the region from which the Antichrist comes. Nebuchadnezzar was a picture of the Antichrist in his desecration of Israel's temple. Oh, I sincerely hope that you, my friends, can begin to connect the dots. While we don't understand all these kings, I hope you're seeing that history, Israel's prophetic history, and the book of Daniel point, in my opinion, clearly to Babylon as being the region from which the Antichrist comes. We're going to see more of that next week when we try and bring all this to a conclusion. All right, now, you'll notice in Revelation 17, 12, a statement again about the ten horns. I'm now going to connect the dots. We have in Nebuchadnezzar's image in Daniel chapter 2, ten toes, mixture, remember? We have in Daniel chapter 7, the fourth beast with ten horns, three of which are uprooted by the little horn. In Revelation 17, we have the same horrific fourth beast of Daniel 7, and it has ten horns. And the ten horns which you see are ten kings which have not received a kingdom when Revelation was written, but will receive authority as kings 1 hour with the beast. These ten kingdoms unite with the fourth beast. They're part of this fourth beast. They're the ten horns of the fourth beast. So, I now want to conclude this lesson of Revelation 17, 13. These have one mind. These have one mind. And they give their power and authority to the beast. Power and authority. These ten kings give their power and authority to this fourth beast kingdom. Now, I want to conclude by reading Psalm 83, a prophecy that has yet to be fulfilled. Psalm 83 is a prophecy that has yet to be fulfilled. Now then, keep not silence, O God. Do not be speechless. You know the Lord comes back with a shout and a voice, right? For lo, your enemies roar, and those who hate you have lifted up their head. They take shrewd counsel against your people. Next week, we're going to find the Antichrist is definitely one of wise sayings and shrewd counsel and craftiness. They have said, come, let us cut them off from being a nation. These ten kings are going to be named, and they are making themselves a pact to join together to wipe out Israel. This has not happened. These kings that are about to named, yes, certain individuals of them fought against Israel, certainly back in the days of the judges, but they never joined together in a pact to wipe out Israel. Isn't it interesting that Israel's history and prophecy are intertwined? For with one heart, oh, mercy me, did you remember Revelation 17? with one heart they have plotted. Got to do it again. Revelation 17, what verse was it? 13. These have one mind. Do you see? These have one mind. They give their authority and power to the beast. One mind. And they are going to make a covenant against the Lord. Covenants are involved. The Antichrist sets up a covenant. He breaks the covenant in the middle of the last 7 years. Isn't it interesting? What verse was that? Verse 5. And here come these kings, Edom, the Ishmaelites, Moab and the Hagarites. Yes, I know Ishmael was a daughter of Abraham and Hagar, but the Hagarites were north. Gebal and Ammon and Amalek and the Philistines and the people of Tyre. And Assyria has joined them, and they have helped the sons of Lot. Here are ten, and on the bottom half of your chart number 7 from www.bibleunderstanding.com/misc.htm, for the sake of the audio, you can download these little maps by Mike Penny. And in the bottom half, you will see the 10 kings that don't have a kingdom when Revelation was written, remember. And guess what? They don't have a kingdom now, do they? Here they are, and included are the two women of the book of Revelation. Babylon, the great harlot, and Jerusalem, which is the woman in bondage, according to Galatians chapter 4. These could well be the 10 crowns of the 10 horns of the last beast, and out of them comes the Antichrist, who uproots 3. Whether he lives in these nations around Israel or not is yet to be determined, but he uproots 3 of these and becomes the mouthpiece for the 4th beast and becomes the great Antichrist, who sits in the temple blaspheming God and calling himself God. Oh yes, the 4th beast is out of the abyss, empowered by Satan and the Antichrist. And I conclude with this note. Remember, a couple of lessons ago, we spoke about the seed of the woman from Genesis 3. The seed of the woman was the Son of God, the Son of Man. The mystery of godliness was manifested in a person. The seed of the serpent, the fallen angels that try to totally adulterate the human race, culminates in a person. The mystery of iniquity is manifested in this little horn speaking great blasphemies against God. And for a brief time, Satan gets the worship that he wanted when he offered to Christ the kingdoms of the prophetic earth. But Christ resisted, and Christ is the rock that smashes the Gentile dominion, destroys the Antichrist with the breath of his coming, and the prophetic earth and its kingdoms become his. Ah, yes, we now remember, back in Genesis 15, God gave Abraham's seed all the land from the Euphrates all the way to Egypt and northward. Isn't the Bible an incredible book that is consistent and joined together when we rightly divide it? To God be grace and praises for his word. I hope this lesson has inspired you and generated your interest in these things. Don't be disturbed by the complications. I'm trying to make them simple. God bless you for listening. Let's have a prayer. We thank you, Father, for your word, and we bless you for the fellowship that we enjoy around it. Help us all, Father, to focus now for the Antichrist in those areas, the fourfold divisions of the prophetic earth, excluding Egypt, excluding Greece. We look to Turkey and to Iraq and Iran for these great beasts, the great wars to take place. And Father, thank you so much for telling us and preparing us so that we won't be deceived into looking at any other part of the world. To you be praise and glory, Father, through Christ our Lord, our Saviour and Head. Amen.